a long, long time ago, before there were gyms, before there were diets, before there were supplements, pills, powders, potions, and programs to get into great shape, the world was pretty lean. It was fit and it was strong. Being overweight was very unusual. There were very few people who were. And yes, coronary heart disease was the biggest killer in the world, but there weren't very many people dying from coronary heart disease. So why is it that a long time ago, before gyms and before diets and before exercise programs, we were thin and now we're fat? What happened? And do we have to go to the gym? Do we have to go on a diet? Do we have to take a pill, powder, potion, or take on a program to be healthy, fit, and strong? Or is there a more simple way? What if we looked back to what we used to do, and maybe we don't have to go to the gym if we don't want to? And if you're a gym junkie, if you love going to your health club, your personal training studio, your exercise class, the thing that you do, congratulations. And it seems now that around 5% of the population are loving to do that. Now that used to be 10%, it's now 5%. So less and less people are wanting to do some kind of exercise at a gym or at a fitness facility. So the 95% of people who don't have an exercise program that's giving them any value to their health, their fitness, their strength, their mental health, their positive attitude, what can they do? Those 95, that's 95 out of 100 people who don't want to go to the gym. Now, of course, gyms are always going to do very well because the population's growing, so that 5% just produces more and more people. But there really are people who don't want to go to the gym, and if you are in the exercise profession or you're an exercise professional, what can you do to attract that 95% of people into either your business, into your circle of influence, or if you want to inspire people to exercise who aren't that 95 out of 100, what could we do for them? And the really interesting thing is that if you understand anatomy and physiology, the human body is, it responds to some things that it's blind to. So to get fit, you've got to overload your heart and lungs, and we know that. But your body doesn't know whether you are going to a class at a gym, whether you're boxing, whether you're on a cross trainer, a bike, a treadmill or a rowing machine. Your body doesn't know whether you're climbing up a mountain, running around the backyard with your kids, or dancing on a nightclub dance floor. If you're getting puffed, you will get fit. And if you're fit, you obviously have a body that works more effectively, and most importantly, a brain that works really effectively because you've got great circulation, you're pumping happy drugs through your brain, so you're more likely to feel good, not just look good. So what can we do to get people puffed without having to go to a class if they don't want to? Because if you get puffed, you'll get fit, and if you get fit, you'll turn your body into a fat-burning machine and have happy drugs pumping through your brain. So how do we get puffed? And it seems really easy. Once you move your body at any kind of speed for a short period of time, you get puffed. So if we have a look at the normal things that we do, could we do that by vacuuming really fast, by cleaning the car really fast, by walking the dog up a hill or in some soft sand? Could you run around the backyard with your kids or your partner or your puppy dog and just think about how many times you're doing that? Is there any time during that time that you could actually go really hard and get puffed? If you're in the office, is it possible to take the stairs and run up them really fast rather than take the lift or the escalator? Or the elevator. I think they're both the same, lifts and elevators. Could you run up and down the hallway in your office? Could you do some jump squats by your desk? Could you walk really fast to the coffee machine? Could you get out at lunchtime and find some stairs or some soft sand or a hill to walk up and down rather than staying inside the office? And if you did that 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 times a day for about 10 seconds, could you get fit? Could you turn your body into a fat burning machine? And could you pump happy drugs through your brain? fine. And the beautiful answer to that is that every time you get puffed, you pump happy drugs through your brain. And to get puffed, whether you're fit or unfit, takes about 10 seconds. So the only difference, of course, between fit people and unfit people is that take a bit longer to recover if you're unfit. But you don't have to do lots of sprints in a row. You could run up the stairs first thing in the morning at the office, and then you could do some jump squats at your desk at 10 o'clock in the morning, and you could go outside and have a fast sprint walk around the block at lunchtime. You could run up and down the stairs in the afternoon, run up and down the backyard when you get home at night, and maybe do some jump squats or some push-ups before you go to bed. And you've got a workout that takes 10 seconds. Unlikely that you're going to get particularly sweaty or out of sorts, or you don't even have to get changed because it's only 10 seconds. But throughout the day now, you are literally overloading your heart and lungs to get fit, and you're pumping happy drugs through your brain. And it all sounds very simple, but if you go back to the human race that didn't go to the gym, that didn't have an exercise class to attend, we just had a normal life of being active, you'll probably find that people who have active lives several times throughout their day do get puffed. They run to something, they walk fast up something, and they get puffed. So the art of being fit is a really simple process, the skill, the science, whatever you want to call it. And the only question to ask is, how fit do you want to be? How fast do you want to burn fat? How many happy drugs do you want to pump through your brain? How often do you want to feel good? And if the answer is all the time, then the suggestion is that you get puffed several times throughout the day for about 10 seconds, doing whatever it is that you like to do. And again, whether that's dancing or boxing or skipping or a martial art or a sport, or you do your housework really fast, all of those things work incredibly well. And that will turn your body into a fat-burning machine that pumps happy drugs through your brain. It will improve your immune system, so you're very unlikely to get sick. You'll have better hair, better skin, better nails, great teeth, because your body's working effectively. That's what fit bodies do. They work effectively. So that's pretty exciting. The next part, obviously, of having a healthy body is to have a strong body. And again, life used to force us to lift heavy things. We used to lift our suitcase, we used to lift our rubbish bins, we used to lift the garage door, we used to wind windows, we used to turn the dial on the television, we didn't have remote controls. We used to do stuff and we don't do it anymore. And consequently, how's that for a good word? Wow, we've gotten pretty weak and we've gotten pretty fat. Because when your muscles waste away, your metabolism slows down. As you get older, of course, your metabolism will slow down if you let it. And the only reason that happens is because our muscle tissue wastes away because we're not doing anything. So if you are lifting heavy things, regardless of what those things are, you will overload your muscles and your bones and they'll be strong. Now, your muscles and bones aren't your muscles and bones are blind. They're not able to see what you're lifting. So yes, you can go to the gym and lift a barbell, a dumbbell, a kettlebell, or all the other things that you can lift at the gym, but your muscles and bones don't know what that is. All they know is that if you overload them, if you put more pressure on your muscles and bones than they have at the moment, if you lift heavier than you can at the moment, then they will get stronger and your muscles will pull on your bones and your bones will get stronger. So could you do that by lifting a box, a log, a rock, a wheelbarrow full of sand, a child, a suitcase, a rubbish bin, your work desk, your car? There's so many things that you could lift without having to go to the gym. And interestingly, for women who seem to be really scared about lifting heavy things, which means our muscles will waste away quicker because we're not lifting heavy things and we usually get the blokes to lift stuff for us, if we simply took responsibility of our own lifting availability, if you lift your own suitcase and your own boxes and your own shopping bags, then we would be pulling on our muscles and bones and we would get stronger muscles and bones, have a faster metabolism and stay stronger for longer. That sounds pretty exciting to me. How about you? So do you have to go to the gym to do that? Of course not. So could you, instead of using a shopping trolley to get your groceries from the supermarket to the car, could you pick them up and carry them? How often during our day could we actually pick something up and carry it rather than ask somebody else to do it for us, or think about a way to put it on something, on a trolley or or get something to move it around for us. So if every day throughout the day you think about how can I get puffed and how can I lift heavy, and then if you want to create a workout that isn't at the gym, one of the heaviest things that you'll ever have to lift is your own body weight. And if you can do 10, 15 good push-ups or good chin-ups or good body weight squats or even better jump squats, because now you're putting pressure through your muscles and bones, then you are capable of lifting your own body weight. And isn't it a little bit sad, really, that there are a lot of people that can't do one push-up because they're not strong enough to do it? But the beautiful thing is, even if you think you can't do one, if you do half a one and then you do another half a one and then you do another half a push-up, pretty soon you'll be able to do one push-up because the body gets stronger. It responds to overload. So if you then can do one push-up and you keep doing push-ups, you'll end up being able to do two, and then before you know it, you can do five, and before you know it, you can do 10, and obviously you're getting stronger. And that's the beautiful thing about strength training. It's obvious. Your body will prove to you that it's getting stronger by being able to lift heavier things and being able to lift them more times. Now, if you lift something more than 15 to 20 times, for example, apart from the fact that you're going to get really bored, your body can obviously lift that weight. So once you can do something 15 to 20 times, you probably want to now lift something heavier. And whether you have to lift a bigger rock or a heavier bucket of sand or put more rocks or sand in your wheelbarrow or lift a heavier suitcase or lift a heavier child, as long as you're progressively overloading. So if you can do something 15 to 20 times, the next time you're going to lift heavy things, you want to be able to lift something heavier. Now, the other thing that's interesting about the whole gym thing is the gym people often tell us, and I used to tell people, I'm embarrassed to say, that you need to come to the gym to lift heavy things 3, 4, 5 times a week. The big thing that's forgotten there is pure physiology, and most gym instructors and personal trainers don't understand their physiology, unfortunately. The human body doesn't get stronger when it's lifting. It actually wears down. When you lift something really heavy, you put little micro tears in your muscle fibers, which is a good thing, by the way, because that's now going to force your body to repair itself and get stronger. It's called this amazing system called super compensation, one of my favorite things. It simply means your body needs time to get stronger. So you'll put micro tears in your muscle fiber when you lift heavy things. Your body then repairs those muscle fibers and says, hey, if she comes back here and makes us lift heavy stuff again, we better be stronger. So your body automatically gets stronger if you give it time. But if you lift heavy things every single day, then your body doesn't have time to recover. So you just keep putting micro tears in your muscles and you don't get any stronger, which is a really great example of strength training not being strength training. Because if you're not getting stronger, your strength training's not working. So when you lift something heavy, whether it's a rock or a bucket of sand or a wheelbarrow full of gravel, just make sure that the next time you do that, you have fully recovered. And you'll know that, by the way, because when you're stronger, you can lift heavier. So if you lift something and the next time you go to lift, you have to lift the same weight because you don't have the strength to lift any heavier, it means you haven't gotten any stronger. Isn't that common sense? So if you are stronger, it means you've given yourself long enough to recover. If you're not stronger, it means that you haven't given yourself enough time to recover and give it a couple more days. So how often do you need to lift heavy things? That's an answer that's very personal because everybody has a different lifestyle. We eat different foods. We sleep for different lengths of time. We have different stress levels. But around about 7 days seems to be a really good number. So you might recover fully in 5 days. You might recover in 6. But if you give yourself 7 days, then you'll be fully recovered and ready to lift really heavy. Every time you go to lift something heavy, you want to be fully recovered and excited to lift again so that you can put in a big effort. Big effort produces big results. Big results produce strong muscles and bones. And strong muscles and bones mean that you have an active life, a fast metabolism. And the other great thing is when you lift heavy things, you pump happy drugs through your brain. So do you have to go to the gym to do that? Of course not. You might do that in your garden with some rocks or some sand or some logs or a wheelbarrow full of something. You might have a heavy suitcase that you keep putting more more rocks in. You might have buckets of sand or rocks or even water that you carry around. One of the great strength training workouts that my mother used to do was full buckets of sand and full buckets of water. And she was doing that at 80 years of age. And she got rid of her osteoporosis by lifting heavy things. Muscles pull on bones. Bones get stronger. And that bone thinning disease called osteoporosis will go away. And if you lift heavy things all of your life, you'll never get it. Isn't that exciting? So do you have to go to the gym to do that? Of course not. The other really interesting thing that the exercise sociologists, the people that study what we did and how we used to move our body years ago and compared to how we do it now, will share with us that the human race is simply inactive. So if you have a look at fitness being huffy puffy, get puffed till you can't breathe anymore, have a rest, overload your cardio and respiratory system, strength being overload your central nervous system, your muscles and bones, your skeletal and your muscular system, that's to get stronger. But interestingly, we used to be simply more active. So we burn a lot less calories as humans over the course of 24 hours because we don't move around. And if you think about the way we used to live, and if you're over the age of 50, obviously our lives have changed dramatically since we were kids. So yes, we used to ride our bike to school, or we used to walk to school, or we used to play sport and have physical activity every day at school, which is very rare now for kids to do PE every day. But morning tea, afternoon tea, and lunchtime, we used to get out in the playground and run around. And obviously kids don't do that much anymore. We didn't have screens, and the television that we did have only had three channels, and you had to turn the dial, had to get off the couch to change the channel. Everything we did in our life was active. We were forced to be active. So now that we don't have a lifestyle like that, there's some really interesting things that you could think about doing. One of them is to always take the stairs, of course, and you'll hear that. People preach about it, but you'll be, if you think about your lifestyle, when was the last time you saw a flight of stairs and raced up them? And if you do that every time you see a flight of stairs, can you imagine how, A, you're going to be pumping happy drugs through your brain, you're going to get fitter, but you'll just burn more calories over the course of the day. And stairs are a classic example. If you have to take the car, do you really have to take the car? Could you walk? And it seems now in the era of Uber that if it's two blocks or three blocks, we don't bother walking. But what if in every area of your life you just walked? And what if you left 10, 15 minutes earlier? If you are catching the bus or the train, why not get off a stop earlier than you normally would and just walk the rest? Every opportunity to move will burn more calories. And I'll reverse that. The less calories you burn, the slower your metabolism becomes. And unfortunately, the fatter you're going to get, or the sicker and weaker you're going to get, or a combination of all three. And we now have a human race that literally is fat, sick, and weak. It's diseased. It's mentally depressed. And has that got something to do with the fact that we simply don't move around anymore? Life is not demanding for us to go move. So I'll give you a couple of fun examples that I always do. As I'm talking to you now, I'm moving. I'm just moving from side to side. And the reason I do that is I learned a long time ago that people who fidget burn about 1,000 calories more every day than anybody else. People just can't keep still. So I'm one of those people who can't keep still anymore. I just keep moving. If you stand up, you burn 7% more calories than if you sit down. So if you've got a standing desk and you're at your desk for 8 hours, you will burn 7% more calories than if you sat down for that period of time, which of course counts, and particularly over the course of a lifetime, you can get fat much quicker if you're the person that sits down all the time. On the plane, I always ask for an aisle seat, so it's really easy to get up and move around. And particularly on the big planes, there's lots of room in the kitchen area or around the toilets or just at the end of the big areas of the plane, where during the evening when everyone else is sleeping, you can get up and move around. Interestingly, obviously much better for your health, and you'll get off the plane feeling much better as well. One of the cool things I've been doing all of my life is if I go to a public toilet and there's a big long line of toilets, I always walk to the end one. So you could take the closest one, but why not just take the extra 20, 30 steps? And it doesn't seem like much, but over the course of a lifetime, if every time you go to a public toilet, you take 20, 30, 40, 50 more steps than you would if you took the closest toilet, then it's going to make a big difference in your life. Housework at my house becomes a physical activity. I do everything really fast, vacuum fast, rake leaves really fast, clean the car fast, hang the washing on the line up and down really fast, because the faster you move, the more calories you burn, and your body becomes a fidgeter all by itself. So you can burn 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 more calories every day. And I share that with you because I love to eat food. And I hate diets, and I hate what diets do to people. And one of the reasons that diets were invented or created or thought about was that we were fat. We didn't automatically diet. The older human race didn't go on a diet. There was no such a thing because they weren't overweight. We produced diets because we got fat. And, I'm fat, what should I do? And it seems to be now that I've got to go on a diet. Well, I hate those bloody things. I hate restricting what I love to eat. So for me, it's really easy. Just move more. And that great expression, move more, eat less, seems to have been forgotten. But if you apply that to your life, if you move more and eat less, watch what happens to the flabby bits on your body. It's a really interesting experience. They seem to go away. So could you move more in every area of your life? Do you have to go to the gym? No. Could you choose to get puffed several times throughout the day so you pump happy drugs through your brain and turn your body into a fat-burning machine? One would suggest that the answer is yes. Could you choose to lift heavy things? And when I say that, to work every single muscle and bone in your body, because of course wouldn't you want to make sure that every single muscle and bone in your body was strong so that you could be active for the rest of your life and have a fast metabolism and not get osteoporosis, there's about three movement patterns that the body does to use all of your muscles. So if you push with your upper body, you pull with your upper body, and you lower your body down to the ground using the big muscles in your legs and the middle of your body, and by the way, the middle of your body, people call it your core, your abdominal muscles and your back muscles, they all have to work really hard when you're in the upright position, which means if you've got a standing desk, for example, you have to work your abdominals much more than if you're sitting down. So there's an interesting one. But any exercise in the upright position where you're lifting something heavy, pushing with your upper body, pulling with your upper body, or lowering yourself down to the ground and back up again, you'll use every single muscle and bone in your body. Every muscle will pull on every bone and all of them will get stronger. That sounds bloody exciting to me. So get puffed a couple of times throughout the day, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Lift heavy things around about every 7 days, and then turn your life into a fidgeting life. Look for every opportunity to keep moving. So at every opportunity, stand up. Every opportunity, walk around. Every opportunity, move your body, dance, jump up and down, box a bag, skip with a rope, run outside with your kids, and be surprised how fantastic you feel on a day-to-day basis because you are pumping happy drugs through your brain. But most importantly, if you want to live for a very long time with quality of life, the only way to do that is to stay fit and strong. There's no exercise plan that's going to make you older. They're all going to make you younger. And there's no eating plan that's going to make your bones or muscles stronger. You actually have to exercise to do that. Now, of course, you have to be able to fuel yourself to exercise, but that's pretty much common sense too. Once you're really fit and strong, your body doesn't want to eat crappy food. You don't feel, if you're about to go out for a run or you're really fit, you probably don't want to eat a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken or a big piece of chocolate cake. You want to put food into your body that fuels your body to exercise. So is it a simple process? Yes. Do we have to make it complicated? No. Are there people who do make it complicated? Yes. Do you have to listen to them? No. Get fit by getting puffed, get strong by lifting heavy, and then be an active person. And your body will be, barring accident, it'll live for a very long time with great quality of life. Doesn't that sound awesome? Woohoo!